a private, family-only funeral. I don't know if you've ever been to one of those. I have not. But that's the circumstances we live in. And now, and this is for your dear wife of 49 years, your mom, your Oma, or did you call her Grandma? What was it?
Grandma.
And under normal circumstances, there would be all kinds of people and friends and associates, but we are here with a little group of people. But we are not here alone. The Lord Jesus has promised that I am with you always, even now. And it has pleased the Lord now to take your wife and your mom and your grandma, 84 years old, and you who knew her so well, you know that she was a timid kind of soul, I think, afraid to presume anything about spiritual life, afraid to profess her love for the Lord and her faith in the Lord. There's always something wavering, not so sure. And I don't think it was so much that she was doubting the Lord and his word, but rather her sureness of what she thought faith and love and sincerity for the Lord would be. And yet in January, when she was in the hospital in Niagara Falls, I had the privilege of visiting her. And I read from the Dutch Bible, Psalm 46. And in English, it's God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And I'll never forget what happened when I read it in Dutch to her. There was a look on her face. There was a connection. And I don't think it was just the matter that it was the Dutch language. I really think it was more that biblical language. Those old psalms read and sung, that's what brought some sense of comfort and calm and relief to your mom. And that gives us hope today, because we have a gracious and a merciful God. And the Bible says a God who delights in mercy. Now the days ahead are going to be very difficult for all of us in this time with corona and COVID and isolation and all these other things. And there's going to be a huge empty place in this little family circle. But you may cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. And remember that the Lord is always in control. And he hasn't made a mistake here. He never makes any errors. And you're going to need each other as you go forward. But above all, you need the presence and the blessing and the strength and the comfort of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised his people, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So today, I may direct all of you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has promised to send the Holy Spirit, his comforter, the Holy Spirit who always testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'd like to read together from John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, and then Psalm 23. This is God's word. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then I think we should sing together. Number 221, Great Shepherd who leadest thy people in love. And we'll just sing it a cappella, and if I'll listen to it later on, and if I think we shouldn't let everybody else hear it, then I'll delete it, okay? But for here, it what matters is that the Lord hears our cry. Great Shepherd who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. In might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. Oh, haste, Lord, to hear us and pity our woes. Affliction our portion, despised by our foes. O Lord God Almighty, in mercy restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. When thou shalt revive us, thy name we will praise, and nevermore turning depart from thy ways. O Lord God Almighty, in mercy restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. I'd like to pray together at this time. Let's pray. O Lord God Almighty, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, it is in thy goodness, in thy providence, according to thy eternal decree that we are set apart here this morning for a little while, for a private funeral of a dear mother and wife and grandma and sister and sister-in-law and a friend to many people. Lord, thou hast spared Geraldine for 84 years, and now in her 85th year, O Lord, it has pleased thee to take her to thyself. And so we pray, dear Father in heaven, give to Brother Jake and to Judy and Bill and Tim and Eileen and all the grandchildren comfort and encouragement from the gospel. Strengthen them and uphold them. Give them a comforting sense of thy presence in this time, that they may know that underneath are the everlasting arms of the Good Shepherd. Lord, bless these dear friends, and together with other family members and extended family who cannot be here, as we are reminded, Lord, of the certainty of what the Bible says, that dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Lord, we know from the scriptures that by nature we are all the same. We are all sinners who need the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are reminded today of the shortness of life. For Lord, what is 85 years in the span of eternity? We're reminded that we shall all die, that we must give account of our lives before the Lord our God. And Lord, we are reminded today that there are only two kinds of people in this world: those who are saved by God's free grace, in the way of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, and those who are unsaved by their own choices, willfully rejecting the Lord Jesus. O Lord, we pray that thou would use the death and the funeral of Mr. Sinkey for all of our benefits, to strengthen the faith of thy children, that we may begin to look longingly for the day of our death, when the struggle with sin will be over, and when that wicked old fleshly nature is no more, and we shall be eternally with our God and with our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, hasten that day. Wilt thou, O Lord, use this brief meditation here this morning to send the Holy Spirit and to apply the Word of God to each of our hearts. Lord, might it be for those who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Good Shepherd, that for the first time they may realize that they have a soul to lose and that they are living in sin despite perhaps even being baptized, that they are without God, without Christ, without hope in the world. Open our eyes, Lord, we pray. Show ourselves as Scripture shows us. Open our eyes to see God as Scripture shows Him, and open our eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ as Scripture shows Him. Lord, bless the passage from Thy Word on which we hope to meditate together. Fill us in these moments with Thy Holy Spirit so that in speaking and in hearing we may glorify the Son of God. O Lord Jesus Christ, draw us all unto Thyself. You are the Good Shepherd who knows His sheep. Open our ears this morning to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd in His holy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Then I'd like to read at this time from John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14 to 16. That will be the text for our meditation this morning. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So we want to look at those verses just very briefly, keeping in mind that our focus now is the Good Shepherd. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself calls Himself the Good Shepherd three times in our text. And He calls His people my sheep. So that's the picture before us. A shepherd and his sheep. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then whatever Jesus says this morning about His sheep, He's saying about you. Whatever He's saying, what He will do for His sheep, He is doing or has done for you. But if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then whatever Jesus is saying here, that's exactly what you're missing in your life, and that's what you need in your life. So He says, I am the good shepherd. And when Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, he's not just making that up on the spot. No, He knows that He is the good shepherd who's been appointed by God the Father, and He's been called and anointed and sent out, and He's done that to care for all of his sheep, all those who are chosen. And that care of those sheep is committed to the Lord Jesus. He's set up as God's shepherd over them. God the Father entrusts Jesus with all these sheep. And we read from Psalm 23 about this good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Matthew says that He went unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I'm accountable to my Father for every single one of the sheep. I am the great and chief shepherd. That's what Peter calls Him in 1 Peter 5. And this good shepherd, He provides for His sheep good pasture in the Word of God, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He provides for His sheep a safe place, a fold, as it's called in our text. And that on this earth, that is the church. And hereafter, heaven. This good shepherd protects his sheep from all their enemies. He says in Psalm 103, I heal all their diseases. I restore their souls. I'm watching over them in the night seasons, so that no one can hurt them. And when they are scattered and straying away from me, then I go searching for them, and I find them, and I care for them, and I will lose none of them. Now, what is now the greatest thing that the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, does for his sheep? The text tells us. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know, you read of David, when he was a shepherd, he put himself in danger. He exposed his life to danger to protect his sheep. But this good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, he actually dies on the cross for his people. So we commemorated that yesterday on Good Friday. He gives his life freely, voluntarily, for the sake of his sheep, so that they may be delivered from death and they might have eternal life. I am the good shepherd, he says, and I know my sheep. That's an amazing thing. It's as if he says, I know my sheep so well that I can call them all by name. I know my sheep. I don't just know something about them. I know them. I know them with a special and distinct and personal and intimate knowledge. Every single one of them. I know them as they are chosen by my Father. As my Father gives them to me as a gift. I know them as the ones whom I have bought with my precious blood. And I bless them with communion with me. I know them. And I love them before they knew and loved me. I know what kind of sinners they were before grace. I know what kind of sinners they still are, even after grace. I know how often they deny me. I know how often they forget me. I know all their sins of all their life, of the past week, even of this day. And I know they don't have perfect faith and perfect love for me. And I know that they don't serve me with that zeal that they desire. But I also know something else about my sheep. I know that their heart's desire is to strive against the weaknesses of their faith and the evil lusts of their flesh. And I know that they are sorry for these weaknesses and that they fight against their unbelief. And they strive and they desire to live according to all the commandments of God. And I know this about my sheep. You know why I know that about my sheep? It's because I gave them my Holy Spirit to work this in them. It's an amazing thing. The good shepherd says, I know my sheep, but he says something else too. And they know me. I am known of mine. And the sheep know the shepherd with a special, a believing, a trusting, saving knowledge. They acknowledge him as their shepherd and as their savior. They want no one else. They love him above all, and they are this sincere in their souls with a love, the Song of Solomon says, as strong as death. They know him as their shepherd, and believing that they shall lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or I shall not lack anything. And the sheep lay hold on him by faith as their own. And they care for him, for his name, for his cause, for his word, for his day, for his people. Then Jesus says, now as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. So first he says, I know my sheep and they know me. And he says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. So there's a connection. There's a connection between the way Christ and his sheep know each other and the knowledge of Christ and the Father that they have for each other. The Father knows Christ as his own son and loves him as his son in the most strong and affectionate manner that we cannot even begin to understand. And he has entrusted his son with the persons, the grace, the glory of all his sheep, his people. I lay down my life for the sheep. And that proves him to be indeed the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep which were his, that the Father has given him only for his sheep. And he says more about laying down his sheep, but he says something else about those sheep first. In verse 16, he says, I have other sheep too. Now, remember that here the Lord Jesus in these verses is talking to Jewish people. And the Jewish people think Messiah is only coming for us, only for us Jews. But Jesus says, not so quick. I have other sheep too. There are more who are chosen of God among the Gentiles. And even though they are not yet called, they belong to me. And Christ has an interest in them. They were given him by his Father. He has their names already engraved in his heart and upon the palms of his hand. His eye has been upon them. He is noticing them and caring for them. He will redeem them. The Bible says, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, even though, as Peter says, you were as sheep going astray, but you are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls. And Jesus says, those other sheep, I must bring them also. I have to bring them out of the wilderness of the world. I have to bring them out from among the people of this world. I have to bring them from among their sinful companions. I will bring them from the holds of sin and the devil to myself and into my Father's presence, into my Father's house. And will bring them to a good, safe sheepfold and the green pastures of the holy gospel. And at last, I will bring them to his heavenly kingdom and glory. I must, he says, bring them in. That is necessary for the Lord Jesus to do this. That's necessary, first of all, because that's his Father's will and pleasure. And then he has said in Psalm 40, I have come to do thy will, O my God. And it's also necessary because of the condition of those sheep who otherwise must eternally perish. I must bring them in, and they shall hear my voice. That's kind of a repeating what it says early in the chapter in verse 4. They know my voice. And how do we hear now today the voice of the Good Shepherd? We hear that voice in the preaching of the gospel. And the sheep of the Good Shepherd hear that not just with their outward ears, but they begin to hear it internally. And that is because of his powerful and effectual grace that the Holy Spirit brings people to life and causes them to hear, opens their ears and they begin to live. And he unplugs their deaf ears and gives them ears to hear the gospel. And he opens their hearts that they begin to pay attention to the word and to understand it. And he says, I must bring them also to hear my voice. That's why the gospel is sent among them. That's why the gospel is heard here this morning. And look what Jesus says then. And there shall be one. In King James it says one fold. But in Greek it's a different word. And it means one flock. One flock. One church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Consisting of Jews and Gentiles. Members of one and the same body. For even though there may be many visible gospel churches in this world, I think just of us here this morning, I think we represent three different churches in this world, different folds, but there's only one flock, one universal Christian church, one what Hebrews calls general assembly of the firstborn, one family of God. The family of all the true believers, one flock. And over that one flock, there is only one shepherd. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns them. He feeds them. He takes care of them. In the gospel and in the sacraments, he feeds our souls with the bread of life. That is himself. And they shall be one flock, belonging to this one shepherd only. So all the focus this morning here in just a few moments is on the good shepherd. That good shepherd who says, I know mine, and my sheep know me. By believing and trusting in me alone, confessing of this Lord Jesus, he is my Savior, he's my Lord. That's how he reveals himself this morning, as the good shepherd. And by grace, the Lord's people may say, he is my good shepherd who gave his life for me, who laid down his life for the sheep, for me too. And so we need to ask ourselves this morning in the presence of God. We don't need to answer this to anybody else, but answer this to the Lord. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your good shepherd? If you do, then by faith and through grace you have embraced him and accepted him. You have acknowledged your sinful existence before God and without God. You have repented of your sins, and you have believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are still repenting daily and still believing his precious gospel. And you are now one with Christ, living out of the fullness of his grace. But if this morning you do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your good shepherd, then I urge you this very day to come to him in the way of repentance and faith. Because today, he still promises, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So come to him in prayer, by faith, with all your sins, confessing your sin, crying out to him, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Today, he still, as it were, stands before you as the good shepherd. On judgment day, he will stand before you as your judge, no longer as the good shepherd, no longer inviting sinners to come to him. But today he still does, this very day, take refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ as your only Savior and Lord, as your only hope, as your good shepherd. Let's pray together. O Lord God, dear Father in heaven, as we come to the close of our little meditation here, Lord, we pray for thy blessing upon it, that thou, O Holy Spirit, would bring it home to each of our hearts, from the youngest to the oldest, that we may, for the first time in our lives or for the millionth time in our life, take refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. And we thank thee, O Father in heaven, that thou hast revealed thy Son as the Good Shepherd, who knows his sheep, who gave his life for the sheep, who laid down his life for sinners like we are. And O Lord, we pray that believers among us here this morning may be strengthened in the most holy faith, that we may be established and assured of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, that those who are still outside of Christ, still strangers to grace, that this very day they may come to him, realizing that he still invites and calls sinners to come to him, even as the good shepherd of his sheep. Lord, bless us further. Go with us, we pray, as we go from here to the funeral home. We're a difficult time there. And we pray, Lord, for safety on the roads as we later on will be traveling to the cemetery. Lord, bless us there too. And give us, Lord, a peace and a comfort in our hearts that only the Holy Spirit can give. Lord, comfort this dear family with the holy word of God, with the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in all of this we pray that thou would keep us from sin and forgive our many sins, blotting them out in the precious blood of the Good Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in his name alone that we pray. Amen. Then in closing, we can sing number 152, Fear and Faith. And I think if you think of those two words and you think of your mom, that's where she was in between most of the time, fear and faith. Now, I'm not the best at music, but I'll try to start not too high and not too low. What time I am afraid, I put my trust in Thee. In God I rest and praise, His word so rich and free. In God I put my trust, I neither doubt nor fear, for man can never harm with God my helper near. In God the Lord I rest, His word of grace I praise, His promise stands secure, nor fear nor foe dismays. Upon me are Thy vows, O God in whom I live. The sacrifice of praise to Thee I now will give. For Thou hast saved from death, from falling kept me free, that in the light of life my walk may be with Thee.